This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
9:20 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. Let's get a quick update on how the bursa is looking like.
Still green, green, green. Hopefully it stays green for the rest of the day. Currently up 0.2% to 1,433 points.
So we're turning our attention now to what's happening over in China, because yesterday at a keynote speech, Chinese President Xi Jinping pledged to meet economic targets for the year, despite the government's zero tolerance approach to combating COVID outbreaks and a prolonged weak housing market that has put into question the ability to hit the 5.5% GDP target.
Now, a point that has been reflected in the latest Bloomberg survey, which shows that most economists have downgraded their full-year growth projections by 40 basis points to 4.1% and predict a contraction in GDP in the second quarter. However, the Chinese equity market has since recovered, with the CSI 300 jumping by as much as 13% from 15% from April's low, this making it one of the best performing bosses, which begs the question, why the disparity between the economy and markets?
So we're going to get answers from John Lau, portfolio manager at Afeng Huang Asset Management. John, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So yesterday, President Xi Jinping reiterated that China's growth is on target for 5.5% GDP growth. Is that realistic, considering the zero COVID policy currently in play?
Good morning. Yeah, it is a very high bar in my view, like to hit 5.5% growth or even somewhere around there. But the thing is that we have been seeing China economics data coming out beating expectations. I think that the delta here or the surprise here mainly come from how are they going to use the special purpose bond that they are pressing very hard for local governments to issue right now. And export side, we have to look at exports as well if we are to deliver some kind of good growth. So the latest export numbers did beat expectations, but with the view that the global economy itself, that the likelihood of a recession is increasing, it could pose challenges for China moving forward.
So, John, what are then the policy levers that the government can pull to ensure that they hit this economic target of 5.5%?
Yeah, I think one of the key ones that I mentioned just now would be the special purpose bond where the local governments are able to issue. So the central government is pushing them to issue the entire 2022's quota by the end of June and put them in use by the end of August. So that's a pretty aggressive target to hit. There's a possible chance that they could even bring forward first half 2023's quota to be announced towards the end of 2022 as well, to just give it a boost in that sense. So that is one of the things that they can do, and we have to look forward. So how does it actually flow into the real economy? I think that's the more important part. Other than that, there's a lot of talks about special treasury bonds, which is quite rare, President. We only see it during the 98 times during COVID times. We've only seen probably three times in history so far. I think the likelihood is not that high. Some people are talking about potential, some kind of helicopter money where you see in the US, they've been giving out people actually real cash to spend. I think that the likelihood is not that high as well. But technically speaking, they have that option. There's still some room for interest rate cuts, RRR cuts. But the biggest question right now is that even if they stimulate the economy, how effective is it in order for it to flow through the real economy, given that zero COVID strategy is still in place?
So another pain point for the Chinese economy is the property sector, as the official index that tracks sales has posted year-on-year declines for 11 months straight. With property and its related services accounting for 20% of GDP, what can the government do to revive this big drag on growth without also creating a housing bubble?
Yeah, to me, this is really the core problem for China economy right now. It has started a few months ago, and it is one of the most difficult thing for them to handle. From the government's perspective, they have done quite a bit. They have lowered nationwide mortgages. They have lowered the benchmark rate that mortgage rates basically benchmark to. But the key question here right now is demand. when you are having a situation where employment is weak, people are worried about their jobs. Unemployment rates among youth is like 1 out of 6 are out of jobs. It's hard to get people to come in and buy, you know, big ticket items like houses. Of course, then we are seeing consecutive months of property prices declining. So one of the key factors to buy a property is your price expectations. If we do think that property prices are going down, then no one's going to buy today, right? Mm. So the demand side itself is the biggest question, and it's something that the government doesn't have a full control on. I think that's the biggest question here.
Okay, but John, you know, you've painted this picture about the broader economy, but yet when it comes to the equity markets, the CSI 300 has since jumped 15% from April's lows. What is driving this bounce?
Yeah, I think all of us could use a very good rally in this environment, right? Yeah, but generally, while we enjoy the rally, like, we have to sit down and think like what actually changed. And generally, in my view, nothing too much has changed. Yes, there's some changes on the ground, but not too much has changed. Unemployment is still high. Economy is generally still weak. No, earnings expectations could still see some further downgrades moving forward. So in my view, we probably see better clarity towards the end of August after companies release their first half results and hopefully provide us some kind of visibility for the remaining of the year. But what actually changed would be the sentiment. On the sentiment side, when we look at newspapers, when we look at news headlines right now, the positive news really does outnumber the negative news. So think back like maybe 2-3 months ago when we look at the newspapers with regards to China, we look at lockdown, we are looking at forceful quarantine, we are looking at unemployment, we are looking at punishment of officials. But right now, nowadays, especially in recent weeks, what we are reading is more like how to support growth, how to stabilize employment, and we are reading things about like tax reliefs, we're reading about economic data beating expectations, etc. So the sentiment towards the market itself has changed for the better. Moreover, fund positioning is quite low. So from our understanding, most investors are pretty underweight in Hong Kong, China as well. So we are seeing some kind of foreign inflows into China to reduce the underweight, but overall, nothing too significant in my view. It's interesting that you brought up CSI 300 because as compared to the rest of the index, it is a CSI 300 has a relatively more aligned composition towards China's national agenda. So what do I mean by that is that roughly around 30% of the companies are IT or industrial related. That is an area where Chinese government really want to push forward for it to advance into a next, a more advanced stage. As relatively speaking, if you look at MSCI China, around 30% of it are internet companies where investors generally still remain rather conscious.
So, John, what sectors do you think are beginning to look interesting or perhaps are ripe for bottom fishing at this stage, if any?
Right. I would first point out the EV space. I think it has garnered a lot of traction, and to me, it feels a bit crowded. But it is one of the rare industries that are clearly in government's favor. So I think that is still a space that investors should continue to pay attention to. Consumer names look interesting to me. So my view is that zero COVID strategy won't go away. We will not see Chinese officials come out and say, no, we are ending this zero COVID strategy. But my view is the Shanghai-style lockdown is highly unlikely to repeat. We see how Beijing handled the COVID cases. Eventually, we see how other places like Chongqing or even very recently Shenzhen, even when they discovered new cases, the way they handle it, even though they call it zero COVID strategy, is rather different from what happened in Shanghai. So while recovery is not great yet, the worst should be over, and I think consumer names should continue to recover from here on. Tactically speaking, the internet sector is also one to watch closely simply because it has a large representation in key indices. So when fund flows are flowing into China, this name should move along.
All right, John, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was John Lau, Portfolio Manager at Affin Hwang Asset Management, giving us his outlook for Chinese equities. Still to come, what could happen next? It is 9:29 in the morning. We're heading into the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin. And on the property show after that, Philip C. speaks to Chris Tan of Chur Associates for the monthly property legal clinic. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.